what kind of a student was I? I certainly knew I was smart enough and could handle whatever it was that was there, but I didn't tend to see it the way the other kids did. I'm not the kid who always got the A paper. I wanted to be more engaged with a topic, get into it, not necessarily just do what was right. So I guess, yeah, maybe a little bit rebellious. I think my interest in education and my interest in civic engagement, and those two things go together for me and for us at Choices, I think they come out of, in part, some of my upbringing. I can remember going with my parents to visit friends, and we got to the house and we had a nice dinner with them and all the rest of it, and then they took us downstairs to see their bomb shelter. That was weird. And here we were. We were in this room with these very thick walls. This is in the era in which the duck and cover and all the rest of it. And, you know, all this stuff was set up to sort of survive a nuclear attack. And I remember being, I don't know how old I was, but I remember thinking, gee, our cellar looks, you can see air through it. You know, it's an old colonial house. What are we going to do? And I asked my dad, well, what are we going to do? And he said, this isn't going to do anybody any good. If, what are you going to do when this, when something happens and your neighbors knock on your door? You can't turn them away. He said, the only thing you can do is avoid it in the first place. It was a crystal clear moment where you thought, it's up to us. We need to do something. That's a beginning moment for me, I think, in thinking about how important it is to pay attention to the world around you and do something. I figured after high school that I would either go to college, and I would either go into law or I would go into teaching. And as I went through college, I kind of came to realize that law was not going to grab me. If you're really living in a democracy and really shaping the world that you're in, that stuff happens in schools. That's at least one of the places it happens. And so I decided I wanted to be a teacher. I see three stages in education. The first is the day that you, from my perspective as the parent now, that you drop your kid off at the school bus to go to kindergarten. It's a huge moment. It's a big separating moment that's going on for kids. I've always said that the next moment like that for kids, in terms of just a developmental process, is the day you leave them off at college. They get to high school, and for most, it's kind of the first time that they're starting to realize they can think differently than their parents. That's a big deal. And so it's kind of a moment where it feels like it's a time when you can open up those questions about what is it that really matters to you? What do you really believe in? What do you think is important? What are the values that drive your thinking? But the approach that's there, the one where it's grounded in this idea that you're looking at different perspectives on issues, but you're understanding that to some extent there are values underneath there that drive our decision making. And typically those values, not all of them, but typically there's a basket of values that we share, but we prioritize them differently. As an example, I really believe in democracy and the whole idea that, you know, democracy is a way to organize ourselves in community. It's a value I hold, that it's collaborative. I also believe in self-determination. Where do I come out when we start exporting democracy? Well, those are two sets of values, both of which I hold pretty strongly, and they're in conflict. Where do I come out? And I may come out in a different place than you come out, not because we don't understand the values, but because we prioritize them differently. Choices is a program that we develop curriculum resources that are used in high school social studies classes. They're designed to really do two things, to put more international content into core social studies curriculum. And if you go back to the 80s and early 90s, there was very little international content in high school curriculum. High school curriculum was, you know, you studied world history and it was the ancient stuff, and you studied U.S. history and that was the march westward. But there wasn't any real content that was international. So it was designed to get more international content into the core curriculum and to do it in a way that's teaching the skills and habits of citizenship. These are tough issues that we face today. They're issues that the American public should be thinking about, too. We don't really know how to think about these things. We need to be informed in order to think about them, but we also need to understand how to think about them in a way that's appropriate for non-experts. How do you think about international issues? And really, we think that part of the answer to that is, well, what is it that you value? What do you think is important? What kind of a country do you think we are? And what does that mean for the policies that we have? I'm part of the generation that was concerned we were going to blow ourselves up. Well, that takes international players to make that happen. So in that sense, I would say that it goes all the way back to the story I told you at the beginning about the bomb shelter. But international is a lot more than whether we're going to blow each other up. It's really getting to where you can step into the shoes of somebody with very different experience and understand what that's like and appreciate their experience and share yours with them. I often put it this way, an American public that really doesn't know about international issues and frankly doesn't care either is a very dangerous thing in the world today. The United States has a very big footprint around the world. We need to understand that we have a big footprint around the world, and we need to think about how we're going to tread around the world.